So I'm going to talk to you about the reading that we just heard from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the first reading. And I'm going, as I said at the start, I'm going to talk to you about persuasion and how God uses persuasion with us rather than coercion. And I'm going to give you an example, persuasion, I think. I'll talk to my wife afterwards and see if it was a good example of persuasion. It was about 12 years ago, I think. My wife and I took dancing lessons. Is that right? About 12 years ago? And it was one of the, you know, everybody goes through periods in their family life where there's a little bit more stress than normal. There's lots of stress going on at that point for whatever reason. We're fine. So she thought, well, why don't we do something different? And we'll take dancing lessons. Which, of course, being a man, I said, yes, that is my dream, to take dancing lessons. to which I agreed. I thought, well, you know, it is something new. Why don't we try something new? So I agreed. I noticed a couple of things immediately about dancing lessons, other than the fact that I am a superb dancer, I must say. And they named a move after me, a special move. Whether that was a good thing or a bad thing, or I'm not sure. I noticed a couple of things about dancing. And first of all, is that the couple that were leading the dancing lessons, this is down at the Cochrane Ranch where they have a lot of activities, they were leading lessons. They're very serious about this. This is their life, is ballroom dancing. And they have all kinds of events built around it. And though they were very gracious, they're very gracious in their teaching. And it was also clear that it was very important to them. And they thought this was a significant thing. And they were persuasive in getting us to dance right. Sometimes the persuasion was a little bit firmer than other times, as necessary, certainly with me, never unkind, but just clear. And sometimes it was very encouraging, such as what I alluded to earlier, when I made this complete mistake in the waltz, and she said, oh, that's a new move you just made up. We'll call it the Greg move. And I go, it just means I just messed up that up altogether, but you're trying to encourage me, which I appreciate it. So they're teaching us to dance. They were clear and they were persuasive. There was no coercion involved. There was no humiliation. You've obviously grew up in a non-dancing household for generations back, which is true. It was clear and it was kind and it was important as well to learn how to do this. The other thing that I noticed, of course, and this is part of dancing, the way we traditionally do dancing in Canadian culture, is that we're learning the waltz, for example, and traditionally the man will lead. And if the thing I notice is, if the man is going to lead, the woman needs to be convinced that he has the ability to lead, and so that she should follow him. And so he has to demonstrate the ability and the confidence to lead. And there's a subtle exchange between as with the dance instructors, subtle exchange between the people who are learning and the people who are being taught and people who are teaching, rather. There's a subtle exchange between the couple as they're dancing. You're leading, you have to be confident that you're leading, you have to know what you're doing. And then there's a response. And it's not like you're dancing with a robot, because every dance is slightly different because you have human beings involved. So that dynamic of persuasion and response is there the entire time during dancing. Does it make sense if people who know how to dance? Is that a good, reasonable description? Yeah, thank you. Good. So the reason I think of this is that we read this reading from, I will confess my misreading of large parts of scripture until I actually study them carefully. And so I look at the reading from Jeremiah, which is the story of the potter and the clay. And Jeremiah goes down to the potter's wheel. He watches the potter at work. And then he's given a revelation by God. And that is, well, the Lord is the potter and we are the clay. And the way I've always read this is, well, we have a song that we sing, don't we? Do we sing that here? It's a great song from Glory and Praise, and great song. I will not attempt to sing it, but you know, Lord, you are the potter, I'm the clay. And not criticizing the song, but there's a certain sense of passivity in it, right? You know, that you, Lord, will mold me according to your will. That's true, but I'm also told that if you lived in the 6th century BC and you were a potter, you would know that the clay has a bit of a mind of its own. It's not just purely pliable. It also will kind of talk back a little bit. And so there's a bit of an exchange between the pottery and the clay. It will not just conform itself automatically to what you want. So in this example, God is saying through Jeremiah, my relationship with you is not simply one of coercion. I'm not just going to tell you what to do and you're going to do it. In fact, he starts off by saying, let me show you how it's done. I would like to repent of my desire to destroy these pagan nations. I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to adapt myself to the changing circumstances. And then am I going to repent of this? Because those circumstances have gotten worse. And I'm going to adapt myself to those circumstances. And the Lord is saying, by showing you that I can adapt myself, that I can change my mind, that I can do this, I'd like you to show you that you can also change your mind. The Lord has lowered himself in a sense to our human understanding to say, this is how it's done. Changing your mind is done. And this is how the dance that I would like to do with you, or the clay that I'd like, the pot I'd like you to become, is done. It's like this. Let me show it to you. The prophet Micah, my mind just gone blank, goes, what do I require? What does the Lord require of us? To act justly, to love tenderly, to walk humbly with your God. And so the Lord said, I'd like you to show you these dance steps. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. I'm going to dance with you. I'm going to lead. You're going to respond. I'm going to alter my response to you. You'll alter your response to me. So, prayer. Why do we pray? Why do we pray for things? Somebody I very much respect when I was first becoming a Christian wrote, well, prayer is like this. The reason we pray is not because God is going to do anything differently, because we pray, because God already knows what's going to happen. What we're trying to do is put ourselves into the mind of God and to become more like God when we pray. Makes sense to me, except for the fact that the Bible seems to say something different. The Bible seems to say that God adapts himself to us. When we pray, we make our needs known. The Lord responds. He responds. It's dancing. You know, the Lord's just going, you're going to dance like I tell you to dance. You know, you better do it. A relationship of prayer is a relationship in which you experience this when you pray, right? That it's not just the Lord is coming down with the Ten Commandments every time you pray. It's a relationship of that same kind of interaction of this Lord, this, and then he responds and then you respond. And he says to us right here, I'm capable of having a relationship with you. I'm capable of changing my mind. I'm capable of helping you change your mind. There's a wonderful translation in the of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, sometimes translated differently, but in the Jerusalem Bible, it says, God's desire for us is to become God's work of art. And you don't make a work of art by just kind of bashing things around, you know, you make an art work of art thoughtfully and in response to the materials, in response to the materials that you're using. The devil will do two things. One is he may make us fall so deeply into sin we can't hear God anymore. That certainly happens. And then if God is not speaking for a very long, very, very, very long period of time, we don't sense him in any way, you know, I'm not just talking about speaking to us, but, you know, in other people or anything, we've got to go, okay, there's something that we need to address here. The other thing the devil will do is, St. Ignatius Loyola says, the devil will say to us, the Lord doesn't love you, the Lord doesn't care about you, you're sinful, and you might as well just give up, right? Sin is a cul-de-sac. Jeremiah tells us, you know, as long as this pot has not been put in the kiln and permanently it's chemically transformed, there's still hope. Progress can still be made. And you notice it doesn't happen in this story. It doesn't put it in the kiln. So he's saying to us, I'm continually working with you. I'm persuading you. I'm responding to what you were saying. And as a result of that, our prayers do matter. Our prayers do matter. We are in a relationship with God, and what we say to him actually matters, because God is not, you know, I know we hear this all the time, but have to absorb it. God is not like some big guy sitting on the throne, you know, doesn't hear what we're saying. God is continually in deep interaction with us. The same way we would have with a friend or a spouse or a family member, his relationship with us, he intends to be familial. That's what he wants. He wants to restore our familial relationship with him, where we have that kind of intimacy, where we speak to each other and we adapt ourselves to each other. So no matter how stubborn our hearts can be, no matter how much we've gotten self into a cul-de-sac, no matter how much we may hear the devil saying, you're pointless, the Lord is at work with us. And need to be aware, he's constantly trying to lovingly persuade us. And I have no comments on my current state of dancing, but I'm sure it would be excellent. Anyway, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to become like us, a creature of clay. Thank you that you understand us. Your desire is to be with us. Your greatest desire is to know us, to love us, and take delight in us, Lord, to help us to become works of art, to help us to become dance partners that delight in our dance with you. Lord, free us from all that gets in the way of that. Please continue to persuade us with your constant and loving persuasion. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.